time. Let's get started. And if we don't have quorum, we can't vote on approving this agenda and or the last minutes. Yes, can we do introductions? And plus at least community health equity and promotion staff, branch staff.
Ali Cohn, council staff.
David Jordan, council staff.
Liz Stem, council staff.
Cesar Cadavis, branch of planning.
Chuck Adams, council.
Kevin Hutchcroft, HIV Health Services.
And she's not going to go home. She has to go to the meeting. She's trying to get out of it. So we have an agenda, but we can't vote and approve the agenda. But it's doing announcements, public comment, continuing our work with going over the policies and procedures. And then we already have a date that just didn't put up for work for everyone. And this is can't review or we can't vote on the minutes, but are there any edits to the minutes that people see already that we can maybe note and then once we have quorum vote on them? Just starting, you make quorum, so we can go back and vote on some of the stuff.
Yeah, that's why I came, to make sure. If you've ever felt that was your moment.
Okay. So you can't leave, no one can leave during voting for the bathroom. I can't remember if that's still in the rules. We've talked about so many positive procedures, I can't remember which ones we have and which ones we don't have yet. we have let's go back to number two and review and approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda? So there's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any opposed? Nope. Okay, agenda's approved. Review and approval of the May 5th minutes.
Yes, I'd like to be added to those.
I'm so sorry, Ron. I always do.
Maybe you should wear more colorful shirts.
The name tag.
Okay, so any other edits other than the one Ron mentioned? Is there a motion to approve with the addition of Ron to those present?
Yes, let's approve.
Okay, we have Linda has motion. Is there a second? There's a second. Any opposed to approving the minutes? Nope. Okay. Minutes pass. Any announcements? Any public comment? I love when you can stand like this. Caught up on time. Okay, so let's launch into the policies and procedures review.
So I can first start off with walking through all the documents we have. I know we've got a big stack today. Thankfully, two of these big packets are policies that have passed at the full council level. So we have two of those. One is the bylaws. So these are our bylaws. They are approved, ratified. We're totally set on that front, which is great. Congratulations, everybody. And then past policies to date. We actually have all of our policies have passed at the joint full council level. I don't even need to say joint anymore. Sorry, full council level. So those are also have been ratified by the full group. So I'm going to continue to bring these probably each meeting so that we can use them for reference. Maybe not the bylaws after this meeting, but if you need a copy, let me know. But so these two large packets we can just use as reference and also just to reassure ourselves that we're chugging right along. The other things that we have are the table of contents with us continuing to gray out areas that have been completed. And then this document right here, I think, warrants a little bit of explanation. It's titled HCPC Roles, Discussion of Joint Leadership. So this was a discussion led by Yvette that went over what the Joint Leadership Work Group wanted to see from various leadership roles, leadership and or staff. So the first is around what council staff should, their role should look like and what it should not look like. Followed by government co-chair, what it should and should not look like. And then for community co-chair and council member, what should it should not look like. It was really around building a shared vision and mission for each of those separate duties. That group asked us to bring this description here in case some of it wants to be incorporated into any of the policies. Any questions on this document? Let me take a minute to review. Anything that anyone who is after in leadership wants to add to that? Charles or Jose Luis? And I think you were there too, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, and Ron, you were there also. Sorry, whatever.
Policy.
I think they wanted to bring it as an addendum in case we wanted to use any of it for the policies.
Isn't there a conversation about incorporating it to the training?
So there's not necessarily any action item around this. It's not on the floor, it's not a motion. But we are going over some of the, I think today we're looking at tackling council co-chair job description, committee co-chair job description. So in case this informs that discussion.
I'm sorry, did we want this to go out and get more feedback from folks who are not able to attend? Was that part of
I don't think so.
Okay.
Does anyone else, Liz or Dave or
meeting? Just curious. Mm-hmm.
I remember it was going to come to this group, and then it was also suggested to take to, if I remember correctly, this executive, membership, to kind of start incorporating, like, what are some of the values and shared things that don't typically end up falling into policies and procedures. So, and they would be able to get additions to that.
So lastly, for our paperwork, we have essentially the document we'll be working from for nailing down more policies. This is the title Policy and Procedure Workers in a second. And you might notice that a lot of the policies that are on here are similar to last month's meeting. So we did, I think last month's was such a great meeting in nailing down all the content. And my thoughts are that job descriptions for co-chairs, things like that, they're things we should probably nail out the language and really consolidate the policy from each side. So that's my thoughts for why we are continuing to look at those policies. Does that sound okay to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Just go through and solidify all of the We've also added some other ones beyond, I believe, lab sense work groups, the relationship with our county partners, and we need to respect them. So if anyone has, no one's opposed, then we can go ahead and just start on the health worker job description on day two. So this job description is lengthy for both chemicals, and what we are trying to do is to silo it into portions that are similar. So like election terms is pulled out, et cetera. The first section that we have is taken directly from the prevention section, and it's a general description of governmental co-chairs and community co-chairs, what their role is. What I would say is that there's also a section around the roles and responsibilities of co-chairs that's a little more defined later. So I wonder if we even need this first section in light of the other. I'm referring to page 4. Their roles and responsibilities under the TPC section, government co chairs' roles and responsibilities, and community co chairs' roles and responsibilities.
So you're asking if.
This first section on page 2 is still want to keep that.
Keep doing
the light that is having a more defined section. A little esoteric in that first section, I don't know. And I'm not sure that. It's not current. Like, so the check, it won't be just check staff. We have to align it with the current governmental co-chair seat. Instead of wordsmithing two sections, I just wondered if we wanted to consolidate it into the one that's a little more concrete.
To give some background, we have this separated out as a kind of intro to the section in our policies and procedures on co-chairs. It said co-chairs, and then under that it was government and community co-chairs. But we have now kind of a whole other section on here. So we have another section on council co-chairs with job descriptions, governmental co-chair job description. Mm-hmm. So I would not see a need to talk about the governmental co-chair in the section that we're talking about, just the general council co-chair responsibilities.
So I guess the question just more directly is scrap or keep section 1, general council members, job description.
Scrap.
And then we would still have it as governmental co-chair, community co-chair.
For under roles and responsibilities.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that makes sense.
To just keep it that way. But then, because it does say, like, what is here really?
It's more
the same thing. Yeah, but this is just more clearer.
Yeah.
This is just very basic, and this explains it more in detail, like, what exactly a day in the life.
So are you also in favor of scrapping?
Yes.
Okay. Is there consensus on that?
Yeah.
So we're going to scrap 1 and 2, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is any opposed to that? So we're going to scrap. And then we can just move on to election and terms.
Is that election and terms say anything about it on page 4?
I think that this is a section we should probably keep.
Yeah,
I think we just need to consolidate. Okay, so what we're looking at is between pages 2 and 3, we have the HPPC policy and then the HHS policy. I'm sure there's a lot of difference in these.
I think
that it's more about lifetime eligibility.
Yes. And we like our words in the prevention side, so it's very verbose. And every single member has a digit number next to it.
So we have, there's a couple of things in here that we can pull out. So we have already agreed that co-chairs will serve 2-year terms. So that's already set. What we don't have is how many terms co-chairs can serve, or whether they have a lifetime cap. So,
I don't remember seeing on.
So for the care side, you can serve no more than 3 consecutive terms, but there isn't a lifetime cap.
Is there also a minimum amount of time you have to be on the council before becoming a co-chair?
So
that would be the other.
Yeah.
So that would be another difference from the HPTC policy.
But there are unspoken words that at least you are working on the leadership, at least you'll be there well enough to know of a year to run for a co-chair position.
That's
not documented, but just unspoken words.
So maybe we can break these out into topics and discuss them individually. Maybe first we can do whether there is a requirement to be on the council for 6 months. 6 month requirement. That'll be topic one. And then we can do lifetime cap.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be other things to work through, but those are two content things in this to reconcile. So 6 month requirement. Thoughts.
So, Ellie, when you say lifetime cap,
I think we're gonna go to topic by topic.
Okay.
So, we're looking right now. I think specifically at the first line from the HPPC policy that they shall be elected from among individuals who have served on the council for at least 6 months.
But those individuals have been voting, right? So, if it takes 6 months to get your okay from the mayor. Be another 6 months to be eligible for a co-chair. So that's a year.
Yeah.
Is that typically what it's been taking, 6 months?
It's really variable.
Yeah.
Last round, yes. Last round. This one, I don't think will be back. So
we're talking
political,
about
but
it is.
Yeah.
Probably we're back to practice.
Yeah.
I mean, if it happens in 2 months, you still have 6 months. Like, it's still, you know, like regardless, there's still that 6 month cap. If we go with that.
And what are the reasons that this policy stayed from the previous iteration of the Prevention Planning Council? Is because we were meeting so infrequently. Every other month or so, we wanted people to have an understanding of what the council work was, the culture of the council before folks ran for a leadership position.
Yeah.
The way I feel is that, and, you know, anybody could run at any time, and I think as a council, if we saw someone who was running after all being there for a month, nobody would vote for him, and that would, I mean, for someone like me, if you're just coming out of council, it's why would you want to run unless you've been around for a year? That's just kind of assumed, and someone like me just coming on, you know, I wouldn't want to be around for a year to figure out what's going on, who's important, where everybody fits, all that kind of stuff, but I don't want to be a requirement. I mean, to me, it's like the council itself would just, that would be the way it would be handled, that nobody would vote for.
But I think that it does help to have it in writing, because then folks will just, some people might not think the same way as you. Some people might be like, I want to be a leader and this is what I want to do, and then to just constantly have that conversation of like, no, you should probably wait, compared to if someone is going through the initial conversations of becoming a council member, they know that there's a period expectation. But like, if this is the path you want to take, like this is the steps, these are the steps that you can take in order to get to that position. Like, but I get what you're saying, totally. I'm just...
I mean, I hear both sides of it, and I think I was thinking what you're thinking is that everyone who's on the council is pretty much vetted in terms of who they are, the experience they bring, and so forth. And a chair is voted by the council members, so they will know who they want to lead them. So, for instance, to play devil's advocate on having a six-month thing, so what if you have people who come in, and there's like five people, and three of them are executive directors of AIDS organizations who have 10 years or more experience in this work, and you would want one of those people to be the co-chair, but you can't because of this six-month arbitrary kind of thing. So, I mean, I don't think it's necessary to have it because I think that there's a strong enough leadership within the council to say who is qualified and who they can choose to lead the council.
Now, so you said that the 6 months was something that the Prevention Council thought was necessary because you meet frequently, but that's going to change, right?
Right.
So do you think that would be redundant then to have a 6 month?
It was the requirement prior to switching to the every other month meeting structure, and it came from a place of more wanting to help newer council members develop their leadership role, because running a meeting of 40 plus people can be a little difficult. And sometimes, because of circumstances, you may be the only co-chair running that full meeting. So just wanting to support that person and make sure they have the skills able to run that. Also, learning the Roberts rules and how that all affects, and because the Prevention Council's culture was that the co-chairs ran the meetings and kept everyone kind of on task with Roberts rules, it really can take 6 months to a year to really learn them enough to be able to facilitate the meeting without support staff saying, actually, you have to wait till this motion's voted before you move on. So it was a part of the leadership development and training to be able to focus into that.
And I think I do agree with
your
point, but if we have three executive directors
that
with like all this tenure and experience, they have experience outside of the council. I think that it's a different culture within the council. And I'm just thinking back to my experience. I think it would have been nice if I'd had like sort of like a much longer process, because then you come and then you become co-chair and then you know what the expectations are compared to just jumping right into it. But I do see.
Well, then how about in terms of the job description and qualifications, that it's not on the council, it's what it takes to run a meeting. So for understanding Robert's Rules of Order, understanding the care plan, understanding the prevention plan process, things like that, as opposed to, you know, 10, because it seems a little bit more like an open process on the council to invite community members to participate as leadership. But yes, having an amount of experience to lead this group, to do what it needs to do in both prevention and care planning.
So just for context, we are looking right now on page 2 of the document, which we sent, and we've pulled out whether or not we want to move forward with the 6-month requirement to be co-chair. 6-month term. I'm not saying that right. You have to be on there for 6 months.
It sounds like some people here, if I could just sum up some of the debate already, is that it sounds like there's some people saying that there's maybe an unspoken sort of sense of like people will know when people are ready to be, you know, that somebody who's not prepared would not be voted in as a co-chair, and it should be left as sort of open and flexible, and other people are saying maybe it's good to formalize that so that we don't have to, so there's not a question.
Was that the main point of, I guess, contention? That's probably a strong word. The main point of conversation around the differences between the two policies?
We'll give a downside to this, because this was a lesson learned when we switched. Because it's very specific, and it says individuals who have been voting members for at least 6 months, if this, we learned the hard way, this stayed, and we weren't able to vote council co-chairs from anyone that was new to the newly formed HPDC. So it stayed with the, I don't like using the word old guard, but the previous, the leadership stayed with the previous members at least for the first year to transition the members over. Because then after that, everyone had been on the council for at least 6 months and was able to run for leadership positions.
I mean, in this situation, though, except for there are a few very new members, pretty much everybody's outside of that. So we wouldn't run into that problem currently.
It could impact the elections, though. I think, I'm not sure if I'm remembering exactly who was on what list. That could impact that, so I think that is something that needs to be figured out for sure, because that could actually, if this group decides to go with the HPDC route, that could disqualify a person or persons. I don't know.
Well, it would be, I mean, if it's as written, it would disqualify everybody. Body. Everyone, no one's been
right.
On this newly merged body.
Oh,
I think it's
think
like that's a hard line.
But beyond
one.
That, yeah.
I guess I was just sort of, maybe I shouldn't be making this assumption, but I assume that we would put in some language that suggested that voting, that if you were a grandfathered in as a voting member with no one, that also counted as.
And that was one thing that we did learn, is that we, when we, the Provincial Planning Council went through its restructure and reorganization, we were very cognizant about creating our policies and procedures for like 10 years out, and we really walked into the meetings and said, plan these policies and procedures for 10 years when we're not the person sitting here, we're doing the work, and that's what got us in some of these loopholes, because we didn't think of the transition periods. So yeah, writing in, if that's something that's decided to stay, writing in a clause that in the first year of the new council or whatever.
So maybe we can do like a straw poll to see where the room's lying right now. So who might be in favor of a second term requirement?
No,
okay. Is everyone else in favor of removing the requirement, or is there some middle ground still?
I'm not in favor of either way. I don't know. I needs to be a little bit more clarification for what we're talking about. And I think what we're talking about is the qualification of the individual or co-chair and how that's assessed, whether it's a 6 month period or whether it's whatever. So, I mean, I think that that's great. Maybe that's the only kind of starting point we have. I don't know. But I agree that there should be some sort of level of assessing or vetting or qualification of somebody.
So do folks feel like that maybe this is something we should address under the qualifications or roles and responsibilities section?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, I mean, it occurs to me...
There's a whole list of them there.
It occurs to me, just thinking about this, that you know, maybe there should be a so we don't run into that the problem that we were just talking about, that maybe there should be sort of a blanket statement made about, like, you know, in the same way that we talked about everybody who is a member of good standing at the time of the formation of the, you know, has the powers of, and sort of that those that standing sort of is retroactive for everyone who was grandfathered in, and we can just sort of make that as a blanket policy so we don't run into this like a loophole at some point down the line, if we, you know, that way we don't have to necessarily write it into every policy that might have a sort of chronology to it that might affect things.
But would we need to do that if the straw poll is people are not necessarily attached to the 6-month policy, and if it's just removed, would there be?
Right, but I guess I'm just thinking about other things that might, like, you know, we're still sort of digging into this. That it might not be that particular thing, but who knows? There might be other things that potentially, you know, because, you know, if we're behaving as if everybody's only been on this new council for, you know, a few weeks, then I don't know.
I agree. I think looking at some of the other things we're tackling, like leave of absence, does everyone that had a leave of absence have to reapply for a leave of absence now? Like, things like that. So just, I think
maybe we can
that
keep
could
that
be
mind
something
for
yeah.
future policy.
Yeah, I wasn't suggesting we hammer that out now, but
really easy. I think it should be removed for 6 months because you have both sides that are very well informed. Even if we get a new person in, it's not going to be for a while. And the leadership on both councils are, some people are very qualified and they are impeccable. So I think that whole section be removed about the 6 months, and then let's go over the rest to see if we can keep that with the responsibility of the co-chair.
Are you making a motion to remove the 6 months?
Yes, I'm making a motion.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All in favor?
Aye. What are you guys doing? You guys are doing a compare and contrast. Did you already hit the other parts that are different?
No, we're, so our next, so now we've nailed the 6 month requirement, so we'll be striking that section. I think the next thing that we should tackle is the lifetime requirement, lifetime cap.
Lifetime cap.
Your so there is a cap for the HPPC policy of 60 months, which I think maybe I'm a little lost on the logic, but it sounds like they can only serve 2 2-year terms.
It's 2 2-year terms plus I think it's another year, so it comes out to I think 5 years. It's 48, yeah, 5 years total. The reason behind that policy was that if someone were to leave the council, one of the leadership positions were to leave the council mid their 2-year term, someone could be elected to finish out that 2-year term and then still serve 2 additional terms, full terms. So at that 16-month mark.
So the difference is that we have a 60-month and two terms, and then for the care side, we have 3 terms. No more than 3 consecutive terms.
And no lifetime cap.
And no lifetime cap at all.
Yeah, the differences are pretty extreme, right?
Okay, so is the lifetime cap, does that mean once they've done their, what is it, 2.5 terms, they can never be co-chair again? Can they maybe in a
year
or two?
That's how it reads.
That's how it's written. So what we did do was that at the the restart of the HPPC, everyone was reset to 0 because it was a new council. So I had served a year term prior to the revisioning or the restructure of the council, so I qualified for another 2.5 terms once we had restarted.
Just curious, what's the thought process around instituting a limit of the lifetime cap?
It was to foster leadership development within the council so that leadership wouldn't be kept within 5 or 6 people. There was a thought out leadership kind of pathway for folks, so people would, we would encourage members to become committee co-chairs, and then serving as committee co-chairs, they learn how to run a meeting, and then they're also serving on executive, and then from the committee co-chairs, people would be encouraged to then run the full council co-chairs, so that they're able to understand and learn the processes. And because our turnaround, we rarely had members on for more than 5 or 6 years.
Is that process spelled out explicitly in the policy?
Not in the current bylaws and policies, but there was a, in the previous iteration, there was a, in the orientation training a little bit about how people were encouraged to.
It's a more informal
pathway. I saw Linda and Mark.
Oh, no.
So it seems to me there's three levels that the group needs to decide here, and in some ways in a particular order. Even. I think the first thing that the group needs to decide is whether or not you want to be a lifetime cap. And then after that, to determine whether it would prefer to have two or three consecutive terms be that lifetime cap. And then in sort of connection to that, the Care Council has a policy says that you can serve your maximum consecutive years, but then take a break and then be reelected at another term. So, in some ways, it's if you vote no for the first one, it would cancel out the third. You just have to decide in the second. But if you vote yes for the first, you have to figure out the remaining two. Make sense?
Is the interval between when you can finish your consecutive terms is
spelled
that,
out?
Is it a full term or is it longer?
It just says consecutive.
Yeah.
Conceivably, yeah.
Okay. On the care side, what's the turnover and diversity been like among leadership?
It's been fairly diverse on the one hand. On the other hand, there have been people who have stayed for the maximum. And so, meaning like, you'll have new faces every 2 years, but sometimes one of those faces will be around for a while, like myself when I was a co-chair, it was term after term after term. And during that term, there's lots of people who were like in and out of those 2 years. Mm-hmm. So there's diversity, but also, there's also, I guess, what they saw it as was consistency. Mm-hmm. I see good arguments for both sides. So.
I'm just totally against term limits, so I don't think there should be any lifetime, but I could see going for like three consecutive terms and then having a break.
Want to do another straw poll as far as just lifetime cap, see where people are at having a lifetime cap or not?
So who's in favor of a lifetime cap? Who's opposed to a lifetime cap?
Oh, well.
With one, I think then the discussion is around two or three terms, consecutive terms. Or I'm sorry, does the group want to vote?
maybe all together. It just seemed to be not super controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just vote on these three things all together. You could do straw poll votes as far as we now see that the group is against the lifetime cap. So have like a similar casual poll on the next two and then make that a motion. So then what would be the group's feeling around? Who would be, is anyone opposed to a, let's go for the maximum, a 3-year consecutive term cap? Anyone opposed to that?
See that again.
Anyone opposed to having three consecutive terms as council co-chair, which could mean 6 years with one person?
Actually, the way it's written here is that a partial term doesn't count, so you could actually have 7 years.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. So no one's opposed to that. Okay. Well, is anyone opposed to the 2 years, I guess? No?
I'd rather go for the three, but...
I was just thinking, like, what are some of the other timelines that exist? Like, it seems like often at least on the prevention side, like a lot of funding cycles and things are like about 5 years. Is that
right?
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that informs it at all.
But also, the cultures is going to be staggered.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So then, if no one is opposed to the 3 consecutive term limits, then that is that leaves us with the final difference, I guess, which would be. Well, there's no lifetime cap. I guess there is no third issue because a person can then wait it out for a month or 2 years and be nominated again.
If I had my way, because at City Council, I would, if we're talking about leadership. Revolving co-chairs every 2 years.
Does leave that option open. Certainly everyone has to be re-elected.
Okay, so if there's a 3-term limit, but there's no lifetime cap, should be set a waiting period before they can go for election again?
It presumes 2 years unless they run for somebody's open seat.
Yeah.
So the way it was for our old council was that you could run 3 times, right? As a co-chair. On the third, it's like a term limit that you can't. But the following year that you're up, you can't run. You have to wait another year. So, for instance, Chip has been 3 terms already.
Two.
Well, so he could.
Two.
No, actually.
No, he's only been. Anyway.
What
a different example.
Yes.
Yeah. No, he has been 2.
I don't think he's been co-chair for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right that he's been elected twice.
Yes, he's been elected twice because we extended it.
He hasn't served.
He hasn't served for 4 years. We're both right. Okay.
So
like I said, but if I had my way, I would have the co-chairs be with the responsibility of HRSA saying has to be a woman, but it would be revolving to the entire leadership of the council. That's just my idea.
When it is kind of set up like that because we'll have staggering terms, correct? So there's 2 1-years and then 1 2-year that will be elected in June. So there, I think it's always set up where there is continuity built into co-chairs and the leadership of the council. It's just, you know, prevention is used to one co-chair coming off and the other one continuing. Now it's 3. So 2 and then 1, and then next year 1 person could potentially rotate off and Tuesday.
Yeah, so it definitely provides an opportunity for sure. And I think we also need to be realistic. I mean, from my experience, it's in some years it's a banner year for everyone being nominated and accepting, but most years it's a lot of arm twisting and hair pulling. I remember having to convince a lot of people to step up to be my, not to be able to step up me, but to be co-chairs with me because of the commitment. Multiple extra meetings.
Can we pull up the Word document? I'm looking at the policies, and I think that the first section of the HHSBC policy on page 3, that first little paragraph, with the exception of the little part about October, I think it sums up what the discussion has looked like so far. No lifetime cap, no 6-month requirement, and no more than 3 consecutive terms. Does everyone agree that that's sort
of what we're looking at right now? Mm-hmm. We're on
page 3. The
top
page under HHSBC.
Is this it?
No, it should be on page 3.
Down more.
Oh,
no, sorry.
Yeah.
Keep
going. Next page.
Up a little bit more.
That says page 2.
is two.
That's page two there, yeah.
Yep.
Scroll down to three.
Down.
Right there.
Right there. Wait, a little bit down.
It's not the...
Oh, is that a different version?
Oh, it's because I deleted the... the top section.
Okay.
So on your page two, our page
there.
Okay. Got it.
Sorry about that.
So everyone sees on their document what we're talking about. Co-chairs are nominated and elected to serve in three terms.
Mm-hmm.
And there's consensus that this sums up what the discussion has been.
Yeah.
Is there any motion for this?
Move to approve.
So is this motion then for all of this, or?
I'm actually listening just to the first paragraph.
Just the first paragraph.
Do we want to do motions of paragraph by paragraph, or just sort of come up with one?
If we have to, yeah, we don't have to vote on it individually. If everyone is in agreement that this is essentially, maybe we want to strike the October 1st. I don't know if there's a rationale behind that. But
I think the rationale was by nominations are. Are opened at the summit, which is in August, and then the vote happens in September, so it has to be done by October. But that's the old way, so I think it should be struck. And right now we actually have our terms.
Mm-hmm.
They would start in the end of this month, so that would be the same thing in a year and in 2 years, unless the policy changes, but I don't see the need.
And the partial terms,
Mm-hmm.
Is that just for part two? How's that?
Yeah, that's up for discretion.
Okay.
It's a partial term could be quite long or very, very short.
Right.
And when we start off this round, those will be partial terms, right?
There will be two.
Because we're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, for the 1 years.
Oh,
yeah.
But those aren't partial terms, though. Those are
full
1 year terms. Yeah. So no one's serving a partial term because they're being elected at the beginning of the council. So even if it's a 1 year or a 2 year term, that's just the size of the term.
You
say
you're
term.
Elected
yeah.
in June, you have to serve that
yeah.
whole year
yeah.
so that it's June.
But
that's
yeah.
not partial.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying is that if terms are 2 year terms,
oh, they're one
that are set, right, but so we're
but
counting these as a full term then. These 1 year terms as a full term.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
yeah I'm following that.
Too. Okay.
Yeah.
And then afterwards it's just 2 year terms
right.
So
right.
that are staggered.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Just for the initial.
Okay.
Yeah.
So theoretically, those that are running for a one-year term would then only be able to serve a max of 5 years versus six.
Yes.
At
yeah.
this first round.
Yep.
Okay. Because it's not, nowhere does it refer to one-year terms in the bylaws or policies.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking about partial terms, and I feel like when a co-chair has stepped down, we usually just have someone step in to be elected for a full term. Hasn't that been...
No, they complete out that person's sentence
yeah.
term.
Sentence.
They complete the term of that person, and then
okay.
if they want to run again and be re-elected, then they run.
Okay.
But that doesn't count, but say the 6 months that they serve.
Right.
Yeah. Is anyone yeah. opposed to having that partial term clause in there? So the rest of the policy, I think that we're looking at mostly logistics for how elections are run at this point. The care policy around that is really centered around the summit, which I think we're all in agreement that's going to change, right? We have co-chairs that are going to be elected next month. It's no longer really relevant. What might be relevant is things like the section on ballots and around maintaining the demographics from the bylaws?
I think, not to go against what I just said about why October 1st is now meaningless, in some ways there was actual meaning attached to that idea, though, because a co-chair then potentially sort of fills their term and ends with the summit. And so after the summit, one or two of them are re-elected. And it seems, now that I think about it, it does seem like, in some ways, like an odd thing to put a new co-chair in right at the beginning of some of the more intense activities of the council within a two-month period leading up to all the major votes for CDC and HRSA mandates. That just seems like, in some ways, counterintuitive to what we were talking about as far as making sure co-chairs have experience. You know what I mean?
Well,
like
since
there
are staggered terms, there would be one experienced co-chair a day. Right? At least
I mean, yeah, but I'm talking about different kinds of experience. I mean, experience like with what's happened throughout the entire year and being a part of those discussions with CHEP and HHS all along, and being able to in some ways represent what's been happening around funding, which co-chairs often, not always, but often are involved in. And so to pull someone out right before the major activities of the council and putting someone new in, even if it's staggered, it just seems, I don't know, it felt logical, actually, with the care tradition of having it after the major events. So someone starts fresh, in some ways, they start fresh in the slower months, which is starting in September.
Is that still true?
Yeah, that would still be true, because both the CDC and the HRSA mandates are definitely need to be delivered by September. September, through the rest of the year, is often almost like catch-up as far as, like, we need to have this presentation or this kind of thing, rather than we need to be prepared to make these decisions.
Is that the contract or fiscal year, too?
Yeah, that's based on what...
It's based on the HRSA.
HRSA.
Fiscal. CDC is calendar year. So January 1st.
And HRSA starts September 1st? Or
October 1st.
Weird. July.
July.
Yeah, but they're always...
Yeah.
So
they say
it
July.
Might feel like
really
fall when we get our award.
That hadn't been a concern with the prevention planning. Elections used to be held in July for co-chairs and December for at-large, to also stagger at-large, so half the leadership wasn't switching at once. And the letter of concurrence was always in August, so it would be the conversation would be led by potentially half of the leadership we knew, and they have to sign the letter of concurrence, so they would be signing on. And that could be also part of the rationale behind the on the council for 6 months.
So I wonder if we should just make this language more neutral, because this might be a conversation that's actually had with the co-chairs next year, as far as, like, how do you guys feel about, you know, you've been through a summit, do you feel like we should extend these terms for a month or two to the end after the summit, etc., and just instead make that language more neutral in here so it'll actually allow whatever permutation the council decides. So something like, we'll open nominations for new council co-chairs once, or at the end of each term, and the nominations will be open until they are formally closed at the following meeting. Election will be held by written ballot at that meeting, instead of actually putting dates next to it, so that next year I can have this conversation with the co-chairs and the DPH if, like, they feel like, okay. And so I think it's hard for us to decide now because we're a new council, so we don't know. So
if we kept this, the care policy at the bottom of the page and just remove the section around procedure on the September council meeting, if we remove that paragraph, second paragraph, is there enough information in the rest of the policy to cover that?
I think so, but is there a need to spell out that election will be held by written ballot? And that they're actually,
yes.
There's some information in there that I feel like I've heard already questions about, like, are nominations kept open until the election? I feel like I've heard that at least.
Oh,
on
yeah,
the
we
call.
Can keep that and just remove all of the, like, defining.
Yeah,
months.
Just make it neutral language. Yeah. Not neutral, but not date specific.
So maybe we want to just work through that policy and just remove that language and then we can vote next. Once it's all finalized. Let's move that. So instead of in August of each year, full council, we just say at the full council.
Yeah.
Literally just scrap every piece of September.
The council open nominations for new council co-chairs at a full council meeting.
Okay.
they'll be open until they're formally closed at the subsequent meeting.
And the election will be held by written ballot at that meeting.
I think that makes sense, because then if someone were to leave in January, it doesn't tie an election specifically to a month.
With the staggering happening now, does that third paragraph make sense?
I'm just checking that. I think it
does, yeah.
Because right now we have the 2 1-year terms for election.
Right. Yeah.
So it'll be fine.
I'm sorry. I have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying if someone leaves in, can you repeat what you just said?
If by removing the in August and September. On the second paragraph, it leaves it open,
so
if someone resigns, let's say in January, it doesn't tie you, and it can resolve actually some of the language that may be in resignations of community co-chairs for the ground.
So I'm having a challenge with that fourth paragraph. I mean, I realize that in some ways it makes perfect sense. We need to. Be in line with our own bylaws, and we have actually expanded those definitions. I think in some ways that's implicit, though. I think including this in the policy might be in some ways a hand tire, because there may be times that the council is actually out of compliance with its own bylaws, depending on whether or not people step up to the plate and fill in different roles. Certainly the care council has been out of compliance with making sure that every single mandated seat is met within the co-chairs. Within the three co-chairs, and now that there are, I think, 5 or 4 components for the remaining seats, that makes that a greater challenge, I think. I mean, it makes it an exciting challenge that we try to get that, but it also makes it a potential hand tire. Like, if no one has those demographics, and no one who has those demographics wants to have a co-chair, then that just can't happen. There still has to be co-chairs.
I'm wondering why that's different than the bylaws tying our hands.
Because it's in two places, as simple as that.
I just feel like it might be remiss to not include that in the policies section around co-chairs.
Just seems like such strong language to have when we actually probably be out of compliance. Because it specifically has the phrase at all times. And, I mean, that's already certainly noted as a part of the bylaws, but why have something that we know that we may have to be flexible on be so strongly stated in two places?
You could just add in, like, you know, instead of at all times, add in a, like, make a good faith effort to comply.
Or
know.
When possible. Or something like that, I like that one.
And to
middle
remove
language.
The entire requirement says something about, like, values, you know? Like, if there's nothing in our policies around it, it's almost out of sync with, like, the origin of it.
Yeah, but I think it's important to be realistic about, like, you know,
They haven't changed that much, and we haven't had a problem recently.
So
we're presuming a lot. So, what's the
language that you suggested? I was suggesting something along the lines of making a good faith effort to. Where is the paragraph? To make it for good faith effort to comply with bylaw requirements regarding gender, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Something around along those lines, just to, you know, say, like, we can also be, like, realistic and pragmatic about, like, our abilities to, because we did expand this list, did we not?
Yes, quite a bit.
It
might be more
difficult. Color, women, HIV positive consumer, consumer prevention services, and an individual who is unaffiliated.
I mean, maybe it's not necessary.
By one.
Maybe it's not necessary, but.
But so I think that does everyone agree with the language that Dave said about making a good faith effort to comply with the bylaws around demographic requirements?
In the recruitment process.
in the election for partial terms.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, not for partial terms. Right?
Well, it says that are continuing for the remainder of their term. This is all about filling in a seat that gets emptied.
That it would be empty for
I think it's seats up. It's for both. It's
yeah.
Election along with the seat
for any seat, right? Oh.
See what I mean here? At all times, the seat up for election, along with the seats that are continuing for the remainder of their term, will comply.
Okay, so it just covers both.
Yeah, it covers both, but I think the point of this is more around remainder. But it certainly implies a more global perspective on all the seats.
Where's the added sentence?
The council will make a good faith effort that all seats up. Yeah.
How do you determine what a good faith effort is not?
With my good intention reader.
You don't guys don't have one of those scanners?
Yeah.
HHS?
Really good.
I'll requisition.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it's hard to track for sure. But I think, you know, good faith effort is certainly approaching people who fit those particular parameters.
And then do we maybe want to, instead of spelling out the requirements, say like the demographic requirements or something? It's gotten a little convoluted with the...
Oh yeah, we'll comply with the bylaw requirements regarding co-chair demographics. Some ways just through assumptions. There's been a lot of discomfort, I think, for people to say, I am this and this, because people don't want to be, I think understandably want to be seen as now, I am declaring myself as the voice for this group of people, co-chair after co-chair, including myself. As a person of color, co-chair just didn't want that kind of, you're now the voice of this group for your time as a leader, and so make sure. So it really has been kind of an assumptive process, which is, you know, which could lead to being out of compliance with our own bylaws. But still, in some ways, I think making a good faith effort. I think there's an added texture there too, with whether or not someone openly discusses their sero status. You know, and so there's again, it's hard for a group, I think, to say, well, okay, which of these people are positive? You know, let's just. I don't think it's the tactful thing or the respectful thing to do, but at the same time, it's certainly one of the things we're looking for. So the hope is that people will talk about that perhaps in their bio or in their opening statement, but sometimes there aren't even bios or statements provided. People are just nominated, sit back, and are elected. So.
Well, that brings up a good point. Is this where we, is that something people would like to do, is submit a bio or something when running for office, since we are talking about elections and terms.
Why is everybody?
I want to remember, this is a new council. It doesn't have to be business as usual. It could give people feel strongly about having something and adding it. This is a place to do that, and then have it vetted with your fellow council members.
I think hand in hand with Zayla's query is, how do people feel about that second sentence in the last paragraph?
What's it saying?
The ballots may include the demographic information of the nominees, which again could be. I'm not sure how people feel about that. We could certainly have the names and then look at that person's application and determine if they have self-identified in a public document, whether they are this or this or that, and then put it next to their name on a ballot, which is can be done, but I don't know.
Has it been done in the past?
Mark, has it been done?
Yeah, I remember doing doing that?
I mean, no, it can be done. If I said it has been done.
No, the computer's asked it.
Never been done in the past.
No,
we leave it to the individual like me. I'm well known and I have AIDS, so.
And my only thing.
Classified in Sacramento, in the legislation, everywhere, D.C. So I'm comfortable with that. This is me. I can't change me. This is me. But some people on our council might be uncomfortable with that because some people are not out, and I don't want me as a council member outing them. I think that's not my right. That's their right.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference in some ways. I mean, everyone should understand that their application is a public document, so it can be requested. Well, part of it can be requested under Sunshine, and that part includes demographics. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between that and then actually passing out ballots that say,
very
Dave
important.
Jordan, you know, this and this.
Sure.
And that feels...
Yeah. You might assume I'm a person of color. Maybe I just have an awesome tan.
Exactly.
I think this needs to be changed.
Might not know.
I really think
I have to... I guess participate in this to some, to at least this extent. That whatever you decide on almost all these matters doesn't matter to us. But I think that passing out information of that kind would violate your own rules of respectful engagement.
Yeah,
and that would be not advisable.
Are people okay with then striking this second sentence?
Well, Chuck was going to say something, so what was it?
It's just that I'm pretty sure at joint leadership they even said that, we discussed it someplace, that for this time around, I know I brought it up, that I would like everybody to have a statement or have something in writing before we vote on anybody, because a lot of the folks I don't know anything about.
Well, it's great. I mean, you could actually, before you're elected, you could say, my name is so-and-so and so-and-so, whatever information is. Usually that's the way it's done. But...
And I think at joint leadership, that was what was determined. It wasn't so much determined to demand that of all the potential, of all the people
right.
coming, but to actually leave space in the agenda and actually note under the agenda description that nominees will be provided the opportunity to speak on their interest in serving as co-chair. So, yeah, we hope to see that. At the same time, we certainly don't want to like force someone in some ways to.
No, but I'm just speaking for myself, being paused forever. It is important to me to know who's positive that's running, because that makes a difference to me.
Absolutely. In some ways, that might determine how you vote. I mean, if that's information that's not openly shared, that might, in some ways, structure how you vote.
Right. Along the lines of unaffiliated.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's challenging because that you may want to know that information. And though some of that information is public record, it's problematic to sort of demand that information. And if what you're looking for in a bio is that demographic information, it feels not maybe great to specifically request that. But then at the same time, if you're maybe you don't vote for that person because you were unclear as to where they fit within that, and then they just don't get voted in as a co-chair. I don't know. I mean, I think that it's imperfect, but I think that seems like we all agree that maybe compelling people to have like a written sort of
I'm not compelling. I just especially this very first time. There, on the prevention side, I know nothing about the individuals.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think Dave said it very well, and I just agree that no one wants to be. Elected, I assume, no one wants to be elected because they identify themselves as half Filipino. I would like to be elected, if I'm elected to anything, because of the mixture of experience and et cetera, et cetera. But at the same time, that might be information that I put in there as far as the fabric of who I am.
Or perhaps you posted celebrity appointees.
Exactly,
Well, I think that's up to the candidate to decide whether or not they want to, if they feel that their demographic will sway others to vote for their favor, then that's a prerogative.
Or if it's something that they feel is integral to their identity.
Right.
Absolutely.
But
I think Charles, for example, would be very clear about, I am an HIV-positive advocate.
And it's all up to Charles, though.
Right.
Exactly. That's the exact point, yeah. Are you okay with that, Chuck?
I just want to make sure that if someone goes to speak for the council and they're speaking for the positive folks, that I want somebody there that's actually positive.
So it sounds like there's a consensus around wanting some kind of information, and at the same time, we're leaving it up to those being nominated to provide that information, whatever they're willing to. So it sounds like striking that second sentence from that last paragraph that reads, the ballots may include the demographic information of the nominees.
Yes.
Yes, so there's a consensus on that. Anyone opposed to that? Okay.
I mean, this just as a preview of what's to happen at the end of this month. I mean, we may not find out if we're actually even in compliance with the bylaws until after the election. Like, there's some of those are going to be hard to track, whether it's sero status or actually whether you are a consumer of prevention services, because people may or may not know if they are. Picking up free condoms counts, or this counts. So I guess that's kind of a wait and see.
So, Alan, is there anything else on the elections in terms, because I'm doing a time check and it's 4:22.
Well, it's just that last sentence, if we're going to take out the dates and that one.
You can just say it in the following.
Yeah.
Or the following.
Well, should we just take it out? Because in some ways they might be just starting at this point. Like in June, they'll probably just start.
So next is resignation of community co-chairs. Again, HPTC is like reverse. So ours is two paragraphs. But I think they're about the same, right?
So they are different as far as there's this whole thing about a letter being submitted to the executive committee, which is certainly not something required by the
form.
Yeah.
Sorry, how is notification given at the...
They usually tell council staff and then make an announcement at the full council meeting, the times that it's happened.
Second one has kind of a timeline to think of for the seat.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I'm actually unaware that we actually had this whole 3 months thing. Oh. That makes sense in some ways as far as electing someone just to fill out the remaining 3 months, but I'm not sure if it's necessary. But the special election part, I think, is important. Because we need to get some of that in.
So are people leaning towards one or the other, or a mix of both?
Maybe remove the letter resignation.
So there's the issue of notice. Is anyone tied to the idea of having to submit writing? Yeah. Having to submit your resignation in writing? Or submitting it to executive?
No.
mean, I think they should, if they are going to resign, they should formally resign as when they're requesting for a leave of absence or anything else. It should be formally.
Could that be include a formal announcement at a full council meeting?
That needs to be written there.
I mean, but we can't mandate that. We actually can't. You know, if someone resigns,
no,
they can resign how they see fit.
Could be.
No power over that.
So this was because we weren't, the council wasn't meeting so frequently, so we didn't want to wait. If the person had to leave before the next executive or before the next full council meeting, it offered folks an opportunity to resign from the council without having to be present. So that was the justification because
of the
notification.
Difference in a number of meetings. Okay. Mm-hmm. How do people just feel about just keeping that first paragraph in the HPPC description? It's pretty simple and straightforward.
Yeah.
And then do we want to include language around the special election?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say that does, though. So. That does include it. It doesn't call it a special election, but it says something shall elect another co-chair.
Should we be explicit about a time frame? Like, if you make the formal announcement at this meeting, then is the election at the same meeting or the following?
I think the more specific around this is the more potential for us to be out of compliance with our own policies, depending on how they resign or why they resign or what have you. If you keep it like that, then they can resign.
Yeah, I suppose it could be covered by the previous thing we just voted on, where we just say nominations open for the next year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I'll cover it over anyway.
As well as the Fulton Amendment of the bylaws requiring the demographic characteristics, so that's already covered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the assumption that we will be following.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is keeping the first paragraph under the HPPC resignation of community co-chair. Any additional conversations, comments, questions. Sometimes keeping it simple is better. Remember, these aren't set in stone. If something comes up later, they can always be revisited.
Do you want to vote on that section when we do this? We have a motion, right?
So we're just keeping that one paragraph from prevention, striking everything else, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'll move.
A second. Okay. All those in favor, raise your hand. Any opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Okay.
Can I bring something up there? Since we're going to be having a meeting, the full meetings and the potential for having public there is always there. I think we do need to discuss the public comment.
With the time that we have?
Yeah. To set some kind of
protocol.
So do we want to skip finishing up on the co-chair before getting the public comment?
Well, I'm just saying, it's just before we have our first big meeting, it needs to be clear if we're going to maintain what we've always done. And we listen. If we have to, we'll put it on an agenda for a future meeting, but they only get their 3 minutes, and that's it. Whereas the prevention side was more of a more democratic process, you would discuss it at the same meeting, correct?
No.
No?
No, that's regulated by the Sunshine Ordinance.
Okay.
Their discussion cannot be had on public comment.
Right.
If it's not
on the agenda.
So there wouldn't be any substantive changes.
Okay,
then
I just want to make sure that we don't get stuck.
Yeah, both bodies had to comply with this.
Okay, good. All right, then move on.
So the next is the roles and responsibilities of the co-chair.
What is the might want to look at what's passed for the governmental charter. The policy was already passed to see if we're supposed to be in there. Yeah, I think this section maybe is
different. Yeah.
So this seems like it's been two policies in a row about community co-chairs. Do we want to make this one also about community co-chairs if we already have something in place for the government co-chairs?
Right. So this is what, on the HPPC side, it was just the one section that described all the council co-chairs. So one job description. Actually, if you look at our government co-chair role and responsibility and our government co-chair work job description, it's the same thing. So that was just, we put it in the policy, and then it was a separate document as a job description as well. We struck the first section under general counsel co-chairs and job descriptions, which separated out the two. So I don't know if we want to keep that. And this is first.
So I'm just comparing what we have already passed for governmental co-chair and what is in his roles and responsibility section, and they cover different ground. If you recall, the co-chair role was really around what that seat would look like. It has a shared seat between HHS and NCHEP. And this section covers more on what they're supposed to be doing. And I think what I'm seeing here is a lot around when that C would be in charge of a lot of council staff type of duties, like tracking absenteeism. I'm not sure it's... I mean, it's totally up to you. I'm not sure it's necessary to display these. Maybe we can just focus on the community culture section. Or maybe that all of the co-chairs have the same roles and responsibilities, essentially. If we consolidate those. I'm not sure there needs to be a division.
Are people okay with just actually then combining, actually, except where there's overlap, of course, not just both community and government, but also HPPC and HHSPC? A lot of roles and responsibilities and qualifications, but I'm not sure what we'd take out.
So, one thing we could do is just consolidate these into one and bring it back for approval next time. Might be a really long list, but we can deduplicate anything that's in there multiple times. Does that sound good, folks?
Yep.
We don't need to parse that out right now.
Yep. So that would be page 4, 5, 6, and 7.
And then are folks comfortable with not having a governmental roles and responsibility section and just having it be a co-chairs covering all? Or do you want to maintain a separate section?
I mean, not if there's any meaning or whatever. If there's not any substantial.
Is there any?
I mean, as I look through it, I think, like, developing agendas, tracking anything, even the idea of them mentoring community co-chairs seems a little, like, irrelevant.
Is there anything specific on the CDC or HRSA site in terms of requirements of the government co-chair?
Certainly not for HRSA, but I don't know about for CDC.
CDC there is, and these are in here, so part of it is kind of being the arbitrator of any issues come up. It's really more about the roles and responsibilities of the government co-chair, making sure that the job that the council's supposed to do is being done, such as letter of concurrence, jurisdictional plan. So it's kind of that helping the council, being that in between the council and the health department. That's the main role and responsibility of the government co-chair.
So let's keep it.
Well, it seems like those could apply to the community co-chairs.
Yeah, that's what I was
right.
Saying.
Yeah. If you guys look at the the roles and responsibilities. At the end of each line, for most of them, there's an asterisk, which are shared responsibilities.
Yeah.
So they're shared between not only the governmental co-chair, but community co-chairs and what was executive committee. So a lot of these are end up being duplicated.
Yeah, and I think eliminating difference also is going to hopefully eliminate any kind of feeling of power differential. Like if, for example, even just something as simple as mentor community co-chairs, like what if it's a new DPH person in that role, and what if one of the community co-chairs has been doing this for, you know? So some of these things, I think, like
so
if they're combined, some might just drop off.
So just in other words, so we already have this covered on the other side,
yeah.
What you're saying?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
For the
yeah.
ones that are at, have an asterisk are covered on the community co-chair responsibilities, so that would be just merging those.
Except for the first two.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So we just be
redundant.
Yeah.
And the first
and so,
yeah.
item is covered in the policy right past.
Yeah, so we can just remove
mm-hmm.
mentors part. I have another thing I'd like to change, actually. Under the care council, there's a flashback, actually. This policy, I think, was created. My predecessors had a lot more, I think, connected to the idea of the role of council director. That's not even my title anymore. I've changed it since. So I'd like to change wherever it says in conjunction with the director, but simply in conjunction with staff, with council staff. That's all throughout page 6. Director, director, director.
So you want to minimize the workload?
I want to minimize the idea that I'm the boss of the council, because I'm not.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, let's just, Liz, if all those can be changed to staff.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else to note before we bring it back next month with consolidated roles and responsibilities?
So just to be consistent in terms of all co-chairs, the only difference is that community co-chairs are elected and the governmental co-chair is not. Is that stated here or in the bylaws?
I think it's under past policies under governmental co-chair.
Okay.
Should be under...
They probably don't have any...
Item 20. You don't have the pages numbered, but it's...
Can we address
paper.
That?
But yeah, it's covered elsewhere.
Okay.
And the, I assume the government co-chairs don't have the same term limits.
I forget. What does that policy say?
They don't have the consecutive term cap, but they do have terms.
Right.
Viewed as a formality.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the ADAP program, it's just renewed on the birthday.
And that's appointed by the directors of CHEP and HHS. I'm looking for the actual term right now on the document.
I assume that's how it works for CHEP, but since we haven't had a government co-chair, I don't know if that's necessarily how it's a thing that would have to be sort of hashed out.
What are you asking?
Well, he was saying that the government co-chair of prevention previously was appointed by the director.
Right, it was either the ACE director or someone appointed by the ACE director.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys just want to Rochambeau for it or what.
You had director of CHEP and director of HHS.
Right.
That would seem to be...
Bill.
Actually.
Yeah. So it says the directors of the DPH section, the Community Health Equity and Promotion, and HIV Health Services will each appoint one staff person to serve jointly as one of the council co-chairs. Under 20. Someone was asking about who's appointing the governor.
It seems like the CHEP was a, I heard some language where CHEP, they could appoint someone in their absence, too. You might want to do the same for HHS.
That was in the previous bylaws. So if Eileen was not able to be at a full council meeting, and we needed, and coincidentally the two other co-chairs weren't, they were able to appoint someone else to sit in and facilitate. And it was kind of that unspoken rule that it would be someone from the council support staff from CHOP that would step in and facilitate that meeting.
Since we have both Dean and Eileen as well as a co-chairs of plenty, we will do that.
Is going to be Dean's backup?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Although I think I
so I'm thinking that since last meeting we were asked to bring suggested language for public comment, that might be a very quick item to run through if you want to just tackle another policy.
You want to vote on this?
There is that.
Well, we would be waiting to vote on this until we bring it back,
right?
As a consolidated policy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do we need to?
Because, do we need to at this point? If everyone's approving of everything except taking off the first two sentences.
We took away the governmental when we're adopting community cultures for both government and community.
Well, we could bring it, we could have it approved and bring it back anyway. I mean,
yeah.
it would certainly save having to do a motion if you guys like what you see.
How much page six are we striking?
That's going to be sort of what Allen and Jose Luis will be looking at to see if there's any kinds of duplicative language. The only real change in their substantive is just changing the director to staff and taking out the first two bullet points on page four. Other than that, the only changes will be where there's duplicative language.
Or like consolidated language around prevention or care activities.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I can
make a question.
Do you
want to
do
second?
Seconded by Charles?
No, I have a question. Sorry. What was it? What was the second for?
To approve the consolidation of this all into one.
Second.
Any questions, discussion? No? All those in favor? Raise your hands. Any opposed? No opposition? Any abstentions? Nope. Okay. Next, we are moving to page 21.
What we voted on at the end of the last meeting was to dispense with the idea of having to submit written cards. So that was the direction. And then we basically just consolidated the language from each of the policies. What you see at the top is suggested language. And then if you want to reference previous council policies, they're below that.
My other suggestion is to have a couple of pieces of paper with public comment on it and establishing so that someone walks in fresh, not understanding what goes on in a meeting, then they read that and go, oh, okay, I got 2 minutes. Adopt the suggested language.
Ali, is there anywhere in this documentation that says that any member of the planning council is also can also make public comments?
Is that ever in one of the policies?
No, but it was made clear to us by a council member several years ago that council members can step out of their role as council and speak during public comment if they so desire, many years ago.
Does that mean that the council has to answer it?
I mean, they shouldn't, based on the rest of this. But that could be easily inserted in here.
State
has
a second sentence.
That's something that does seem unnecessary because it's something that we just let people know, I suppose.
I mean, considering the number of meetings where there are no
mm-hmm.
conventional members of the public,
right.
maybe it should be specified.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people ought to at least know that they do have that opportunity to step out of their role as a planning council.
So then how about right at the top then, a second sentence in that first paragraph, council members may also step outside of their role as council members and speak as members of the public during public comment, or something that's a little less wordy.
Well, if you just say council members may also speak as members of the public.
Like that, okay.
Does that sound to you, everybody?
It's just been brought up to our attention for many years.
Would we want to say at the end of that sentence something like them? Would have to adhere to the comments because I could see a council member stepping out of the role, saying something during public comment and saying, hey, why aren't we discussing this? Just that clear.
I mean, I think it would be repetitious. I mean, I could see that for sure, but I think it being in the same thing and just sort of the second sentence implies that, hey, if you're doing that, then the rest of this is for you.
Public has 3 minutes, and the person that wants to step out of their role as a council member has 3 minutes, and that is set by the co-chairs.
Mm-hmm. So we had a motion,
but
not a
second. Well, no, that's changed the motion.
With that amendment?
Yeah, with that amendment. Yeah.
One second.
Any questions, conversation? So to all those in favor, raise your hands. All those opposed, no oppositions, any abstentions, none, passes.
I'm just looking for short policies. Leave of absence, really a quick one.
24.
Page 24.
And there's nothing equivalent from the HPPC policy, bylaws, or policy.
I mean, there isn't one at all.
Yes. Not so much with the policy itself, but issues from particular council members who really wanted to have more than two. The issues were brought to membership, and membership was like, but yeah, it certainly has come up.
Anyone opposed to the policy as it stands? Okay. The motion to moderate?
Move to approve. Any yes.
Okay. Any discussion? Because there's such a lively one. Okay. Hearing none. All those in favor? Hands? Any no's? I didn't have enough coffee in front of me.
So the last thing that I'm working on time, but this one strikes me as maybe a quick conversation, is the rules of respectful engagement. I don't know, were they created, Mark, do you know if they were created by the council or if they were taken from another source?
They were created by a combination of the council members and our consultant.
Do you know who the consultant was?
Veronica Neal.
So there's an introduction on page 31, and then it's the chart on page 32 and 33.
It's very clear,
isn't it?
We don't have to make a discussion of that. It's just about the rule of engagement. Just to be respectful of each other and try not to be personal.
So we're looking at improving the paragraph along with the group, we call this chart,
table.
Paragraph and the chart, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with the paragraphs. Chart needs to change.
I think it's the same thing as the prevention has. So.
So the Provincial Planning Council had rules of respectful engagement. It wasn't in a chart like that. It was basically just what's in the first column, the rule. And it was a poster that was put up at the council meeting. About a year ago, it ripped and we completed it anyway.
I think several years ago, people lost interest and we saw
little plastic.
We started with a big laminated poster and then we moved to little ones that were passed down. Now it's just understood.
So, yes, but it wasn't in our bylaws or policies. They look about the same.
No, it was appendix item. A very important appendix item.
Oh, actually, it's in our section A of our manual as guiding principles. But also as an appendix. It's literally the first choice.
Folks, that is important.
Is anyone opposed to the policy as written?
All those in, is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second. Okay. Thank you. Is it beating me for the time? All those in favor? Okay. Any no's? Can't say that word right now. And then nays, thank you. And I keep wanting to say abstentions before nays. Any abstentions? Nope. Okay.
Maybe we look at steering. That seems like it's pretty straightforward. There's two different policies, but
steering.
Yeah, one is very small. I mean, we have 7 minutes. I just want to see every single policy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that
I mean, that's a, I don't know if that's a 7 minute conversation.
Then what about the relationship between council and county? It looks like the only policy we have is from Karen.
Yeah, I don't think that's a 7 minute conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at steering?
Yeah.
Page 13.
Page 13.
Yeah.
So one of the main differences mm-hmm. appears to be the 2 versus 4 at large.
We voted on that already, yeah. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if anything in the convention policy that's not in the care policy? It's a little shorter, and it includes the number of documents.
And it keeps the language open in case other things change mm-hmm. along the way.
Mm-hmm. And it also includes the co-chairs of a regularly established committee. Meetings, which was not in the HPPC policies.
Can we work from that policy then?
Yeah.
What name did
it's the bottom of page 13,
okay.
Continuing to 14. So we're working off the HSPC.
I think one change right off the bat would be just simply removing HIV Health Services Office in that one sentence, second to last sentence, and just making it interfaces with the Department of Public Health. Although I wonder if we even need that, since Department of Public Health are actually on the council. I wonder if it could just be the steering committee oversees the work of all the council standing committees and standing and ad hoc committees and work groups. Period. Just cut out the interface part because there is no longer an interface. It's all together. Yeah?
How do people feel about that?
So yeah, we can change that a little bit. It's a little awkward there. So standing and ad hoc committees and work groups. Should just be work group, not working group.
Just looking at the roles and responsibilities listed under the HPPC policy, and there's a mention about making decisions about member dismissal, and also reviewing requests, the last two bullets.
Yeah, that actually
that needs to be
there is a big potential difference. So I'm wondering how prevention council members might feel about this. That was in some ways, I think maybe the care council, because it wasn't spelled out, had some challenges sort of negotiating around the dismissal of certain or the even the non-renewal of certain members, and so the go-to place was steering, and that became a real challenge for steering as well, as far as like it was just like, no, we're sending it back to you. You guys decide. And so I'm afraid that might happen again. If there's a place in there that specifically says steering is oversees that final thing, because what eventually happened was that membership made its determination,
mm-hmm.
and then now it goes to the full council rather than the people who actually aren't familiar with the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, steering resisted being put into that role. Have you had any experiences on the Prevention Council around this at all?
We had when there had been a membership committee, but since the HPPC 2.0 membership, anytime membership was open, there would be an ad hoc committee created.
Mm.
So that is why things had to be voted at steering for any membership.
I think it was ad hoc.
Right, because
yeah.
there was no ongoing
oh, okay.
membership committee to them. Deal with
yeah.
the issues. So that's why that's in there as a role for steering. Now that there is a membership work group, I think it should lie in membership. And that's how it was in the previous HPPC council when there was membership committee.
And that'll be outlined in the
roles and
rules of that
yeah.
committee. Okay. And the last bullet, what was this for?
Yeah, that's something that steering certainly does on the care side. It just hasn't been spelled out before. But yeah, definitely. So it could be included if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it appears somewhere else in the document.
No, I mean, we might as well just transfer that last one down there because,
okay.
hey, that's coming up in June, although there actually is no steering. So, there's a request on the doc. Pardon?
Where
how about the second to last sentence above where it says membership? So right before the steering committee supports. Or even before. No, I think like So the steering committee acts on behalf, blah, blah, blah. The steering committee reviews requests for letters of support, blah, blah, blah. And the steering committee supports the creating of files on the agenda.
So the motion's on the floor to adopt the HPPC steering committee description with the changes of striking interface with the Department of Public Health HIV Services Office, moving the review's request for letter of support, that language, into that first paragraph. In changing working groups to work groups. Any discussion? Questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Any nays? Okay, so the motion passes. We are at time. Folks, I want to thank you guys. We've powered through a lot of great things, and so I have more to come. Our next meeting is on July 7th here in this conference room, 3 to 5.
I didn't think so.
And we'll see you guys before then in June. So enjoy the next summer.